Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Red Fox Blogger with your host, Kel Fritzy. She's the infidel your imam warned you about, and there's no holding her back as she shares her opinions, insights, information, and outrage discussing the political entity known as Islam. We are at a critical juncture in our history, and if the threat of Islam is not faced up front, right now, then we will lose the freedoms of individuality, civic justice, and autonomy of thought we rightly enjoy, and instead see our values replaced with kinetic and civilizational jihad, Sharia law, and oppression permanently. Don't let the memory of our soldiers, past and present, go in vain. It is up to us to protect the legacy for which they fought so hard. We have an obligation to honor their memory today and for future generations. Join Kel Mondays at 3 p.m. Eastern and Fridays at 7 p.m. Eastern on Blog Talk Radio. But leave your political correctness well away from her phone lines and chat room. And be warned, Kel takes no prisoners.
JoeDanMedia.com.
Changes.
We are justified in doing anything we can to survive.
And hello, everybody, and welcome to the Red Fox Blogger. I'm your host, Kel Fritzy. You're joining me on the Friday evening program, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. But, of course, you know that you join me on Mondays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time with my fellow host, Tim Burton, who is enjoying a very well-deserved vacation. And Tim will be absent from the programs until July, but I have very fine friends that are going to help me out to get through the shows that I hate doing alone. But the Friday show seems to work out pretty darned good. But we do have household issues going on here right now. As you know, and especially if you're my friend on Facebook, you'll notice that we have adopted a new doggy, and his name is Dobby. Dobby the doggy. But Dobby is experiencing some health issues, and his blood levels are such that he will not be released from the Humane Society. Yep, he's a rescue dog. And me and Mr. Kell, we had to go to the Humane Society this afternoon to, go and see him and check on him and stuff like that. And I missed one of my absolute favorite shows, and I was late for another show and where I produce. Any of Southern Sense, I missed your show. I regret that deeply. And Jess of EDL Radio, I was very late for yours. But, you know, it's called life. It's a shame. But I really was grateful that I was able to get to the Humane Society to check out Sweet Dobby. And he's doing okay. He's doing okay. But they are concerned about putting him under the anesthetics because of his levels. And so we just went over to the Humane Society to take him out for his walk and spend time with him. He might not be home, for about 2 weeks. We're waiting for the vet's assessment to see when he's okay to undergo surgery to be neutered, because rescue pets, I'm pretty sure it works this way in the UK and Australia and the United States and Canada, certainly. When you adopt a pet, they're not released until they're either spayed or neutered, and Dobby's not neutered yet. But he has some health issues, and he's an older dog. He's 8.5 years old. So it was kind of like, well, we've been going there every day to spend time with him, and I'll be back there again tomorrow afternoon taking Dobby out for his walk. So, please, keep me in your thoughts. Keep Dobby and Mr. Kell in your thoughts, because he's a beautiful dog. He deserves his forever home, and we're in our strivations to ensure he has one. But, hey, welcome to RFB. I'm your host, Kel Fritzy. And, I'm not quite sure where I'm going with the show tonight. Maybe I can get Annie to call in. Agador is going to join me in 20 minutes, but I'm up to all sorts of tomfoolery tonight. I'm just in that sort of mood, I'm just feeling a little wiggy, funny, and wanting to have a good time. I've got some clips I want to share with you. There is one in particular that I think you'll exceptionally enjoy, and that is there is a U.S. Marine, and he is reading the Afghan National Army, the Riot Act. So I'm going to play that. I have a clip from Ned, who calls into the Islamic Cultural Center, and you have me taking taking the piss out of Family Feud. Okay. I'm going to have to explain the Family Feud thing. I'm sure my North American listeners are, you know, familiar with this show. It's a game show, morning show, and what they have, there are two families, and they click the buzzer and win prizes. Well, it's an appy on Facebook as well. And my two sisters dragged me into playing this. So I'm playing the game, and I'm trying to win fast money for my sisters. Oh, my goodness. This is really quite the something. As you know, I don't have a whole lot of time for game shows because as a counter-jihadist, my time is taken up. I produce very many shows. But my sisters are like, oh, come on, play Family Feud with us. So I thought, well, all right, I will. Here's me playing Family Feud. Take a listen.
Here we go. Time to play Family Feud. We surveyed 100 people. The top 7 answers are on the board.
Name an article of clothing people don't usually put on hangers. Let's go with t-shirts.
Show me. Okay, it's there. Let's get another one.
Shoes.
Show me. Good. Go again.
Underwear.
You want a new question?
No, I don't want
Show
a new
me.
Question.
Good answer. What else? One and you start it. Then strike one.
Oh shit! Oh wow!
I get another chance.
Name an article of clothing people don't usually put on hangers. Okay.
Want a new question?
No, I don't want a new question. Shut up.
Come on, you can do it.
No.
Couldn't come up with one. Strike two.
Okay.
You can add that extra strike now.
Okay, how about...
Another chance.
Shut up. How about...
There?
Oh, damn.
Okay, it's there.
Name an article of
You can use your extra strike right now.
People don't use...
Go again.
I don't want to use my extra strike. I'll lose my points.
You can get a different question. You can do it.
I don't know.
There?
Oh,
that's
no.
Strike number 3.
Yeah, I know. Shut
you
up.
Can add that extra strike now.
I don't want the extra strike. Tell me what I missed.
Let's take a look at what you missed. Oh! Let's see number 4.
Huh? Are you fucking serious?
Let's see number 7.
I said underwear. Bras should have been incorporated in that.
You're pretty good at this.
Oh, I'm pretty good at this. Ooh.
We surveyed 100 people. The top six answers are on the board.
Name something one person in a relationship does too soon that scares the other one away. Oh, that's easy. Declare love. Can I stop?
You want a new question? Survey stand. You got it. Let's get another one.
Okay, marriage proposal. Let's go with that one.
Nice job.
Top answer. Woohoo.
Go again.
Moving in together. Let's see how I do this.
Survey stand.
What?
Stop one.
What do you mean? That's a biggie.
Get another chance.
Oh, okay. Let's go with buy a house. Wow.
Let's take a look. Strike two. You can use your extra strike right now.
I don't
want to
use... Shut up. I don't want to use that.
You can get a different question. That's strike number three.
Shut up. I know. I really...
You can add that extra strike now.
I don't want to. And your voice is really annoying me.
Okay, let's see what you missed. Show us four, please. Let's see number five.
Ask for money. Sleep with them.
Show us six.
Too possessive. They want a baby. Ooh.
Okay, let's see how you're doing.
That's gross.
Good work. You're ahead.
Yay.
It's double points, folks.
Okay.
We surveyed 100 people. The top five answers are on the board.
Name someone you would hate to get in a fender bender with. Okay. Let's go with Pop.
Survey says...
Oh, I got Pop answer. I'm so good.
Go again.
X.
Show me. Strike one.
Shut up. I know.
Get another chance.
I don't know. Family member. Let's go with family member.
Let's take a look.
What?
That's two strikes.
Okay.
You can use your extra strike right now.
I don't want to use my extra, whatever.
You can get a different. Let's take a look. Gosh, that's your third strike.
Shut up. I know. Okay?
You can add that extra strike now.
Not adding it. Just tell me what I missed.
Okay, let's see what you missed. Number three.
Mom. Kids.
Let's see number four.
Lawyer.
Let's see number five.
And I said... Family
Let's see how
member.
You do. Say, you're pretty good at this.
Oh, baby, thank you.
Point values are triple.
We are so moving in.
We surveyed 100 people. The top four answers are on the board.
Name a coffee drink people order while they're out but can't make at home. Oh, come on, that one. It's a cappuccino. Come on.
You can survey says. Okay, it's there. What else?
Well, latte. Of course.
I hope it's up there.
Better be.
Okay, it's there. Let's get another one.
Foam coffee.
Show me.
What?
Strike one.
Of course it's up there. Okay.
Let's try again.
Oh, shoot. What's that Italian stuff they drink? I can't remember that. It comes in a tiny little cup.
You can get a different question.
I don't want a different question. I want you to...
Hurry, hurry.
I don't know.
You come up with one.
I drew a blank.
That's two strikes.
Name a coffee
drink. You can
add drink.
That extra strike now.
No, I'm
That's
not
okay.
adding the extra strike, but I can't name other coffees that people order
you can get
while they're
a different
out.
Question.
Latte, cappuccino.
You can
oh,
do it.
What is that? I give up. I don't know.
Oh, no, you didn't come up with anything.
Shut up.
That's strike number three.
Shut up.
You can add that extra strike now.
I don't want it. What I miss.
Okay, let's see what you missed.
Oh! Espresso! That's
number
it.
Three.
Oh! Mocha? Hey.
You got every answer in the game for a 1,000-point bonus.
Whee!
Okay, let's add it all up. You've done it. You've won the feud.
I'm winning.
It's fast money. You have extra time help.
Okay.
Use it to add 10 seconds to the clock. I'll give you 5 questions. You try and give me the most popular answer. If you and a friend can get 200 points total, you'll each get a 5,000-point bonus.
If I get all of them, will you
sleep
with
please.
Me? Or can I slap you
Here
silly?
We go.
Name a way you can tell a person has a cold. Okay, sniffle. Name a place where you often end up overeating. Restaurant. Oh, come on. You guys are making this. Okay. Name someone you would talk to about your troubles. Sister. Of course. Name something that a man who wears a lot of gel in his hair might do for a living. Model. Okay, let's go with that one. Name something you'd use. A magnifying glass to look at.
Use it to add 10 seconds to the clock.
There we go. Let's see how we did.
Let's see how you did. We asked you, and you said... You answered?
Whee!
And you said?
Sister, only 5? That's
you
it.
Gave us?
Woo! 100, come on, come on, come on, come
you
on.
You said?
What? 158 points. Son of a bitch.
Okay, you've done your part. Here's your grand total. Let's update your account balance. Great game.
Thank you. All right. And my sisters, it's up to them now. And I'm done. This is hilarious. How did my sister drag me into this? Oh, and I got an award! Oh, crap and corruption and... Oh, wow! Congratulations! You won the Top Gay Andrews Award. Oh, that is just fantastic. I want to thank you very much. You love me. You really love me. Oh, this is damn hilarious. Okay. That's enough. And, buddy, don't say so. You bought it. Okay. How the hell do I get out of here? Hello? Hi! I'm done. It's over. The game's over. Get me out of here. And yeah, if you met my family, you would understand. yeah, that's me and my two sisters. We play this appy on Facebook. I'm usually not into playing games, but you know, come on, it's my sisters, you know, and we're very competitive, and I won top money. Family Feud. As you can tell, I'm having a rather wonky show, but we do have issues that we're going to get into and dealing with the idiocy called Islam, the political cult that has infiltrated its way into the West. And I have another clip here, but I want to bring in my fine fellow host, who is going to be embarking on our newly minted show starting July 10th, and that is Agador. And hello, Agador. Do you want to play Family Feud?
Yeah. Star on Jersey Shore. Cigarettes. You know, Captain Harlock. Oh, I don't know. Oh, okay, we're doing this. All right, yeah. So, yeah, how have you been, Kel?
I've been doing all right. And you know, when I'm not battling the scourge, you know, being the prolific counter-jihadist that I am, I play Family Feud.
See,
win us money!
Yeah, I find it way less stressful to play things like Mech Warrior and Deus Ex, you know.
I know.
Seems like a first-person shooter. You know.
Oh, I don't know how my, you know, like I say though, if you did meet my family, you really, truly would understand.
Oh no! If I were actually doing this thing against my family, yeah, I think that's something a lot of us have, that that competitiveness. Yeah, I'd probably be on the stupid thing all night. So.
I know
where you're going from.
But yeah, you're talking back to that guy and you're cursing him and flirting with him at the same time. It's like, man, this is one hell of a love-hate relationship.
I guess so. Well, you know, you want bragging rights when you meet up with the family, though. You know, and be able to lovingly tell them that you rule and they suck. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because this is what you want to bring to a family reunion. Hi. Yeah, I'm a prolific radio host and counter-jihadist, and I win fast money at Family Feud.
Well, that beats Uncle Harry that, you know, gets drunk and then, you know, decides to take his shoes and socks off the table and start picking his toes or something, you know.
Thanksgiving suppers?
Yep.
I'm the one that's going to be the uncle that everybody tolerates twice a year, Thanksgiving and Christmas.
There you go. Yep.
Around the table. Derpy, 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 derp. Oh, don't worry. It's just Auntie Kelly. Just give her a glass of sherry and she'll be quiet.
Yeah, that's right. Everybody just eat the turkey and it'll all be good. You know what? You haven't mentioned this, but I'm going to. Canada Day is coming up.
It is, July 1st.
Yeah. And I want to wish you and all my Canadian friends, all of you crazy Canucks up north, happy Canada Day. From the Unpleasant Black Guy. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Hope you guys have a great celebration.
Thank you.
Along with being counter-jihadis, a lot of us are very patriotic about the countries we live in and have always admired how patriotic the Canadians are about their country, and just unashamedly patriotic. It's a beautiful thing to see, And it's an example that I'd say quite a few Americans down here could follow, because I think sometimes we don't realize, even though we're involved in the scourge, in fighting the scourge, I really don't think we all realize how lucky we have it here in the West. You know, and it's just refreshing to see people that actually care about where they live.
Oh, absolutely. Hey, do you want to listen to another clip that I have? This is brilliant. I love this, Agador. This is brilliant. And we're going to – actually, you know what? What we're going to do, we'll play it in a moment, because we do have a special friend joining us, and that is Wahabi. Wahabi, long time no listen. How are you doing? What's new
hello,
in
Wahabi, you're calling from the Spongistan. Spongistan, we are sponges from you, and you stand for it, and we love you. So I am Ambassador Press Secretary from Spongistan, calling your Haha Hee show tonight on Friday, making good humor. So, Kale and Mr. Dor, Aggie Dor, how are you tonight?
We're doing infidelity well.
Yes, so I will give you news from Spongiston, latest news, three items to the news. It's been a long time. I no longer call in EDL show. The United Kingdom took my visa. They will not let me in country because I tried to smuggle a phone booth in the diplomatic pouch, and they did not like that. So,
I think they were disappointed
I no longer
about
the
your
EDL
embassy.
Show. Yes. Yes. Other thing is Spongistan is trying to host in honor of American president a golf tournament, and in having trouble with documents. Advertisement in Spongistan said, and we sent to White House, advertisement said Barack Obama,
well,
a hole-in-one tournament, huh? So big letters, hole-in-one, you know, or a
Wahabi,
hole in big letters. And they did not
Wahabi,
like that. They did not
you
like
really
that.
Upset the so. U.K., you really upset the U.K. because Spongistan took their monies and that they stood for it. And that they're beginning to realize that you are a sponge. And they're a little pissed off at you as well because of the yak races in the Olympics, don't you think?
Well, going back to why the United Kingdom has problem is maybe phone booth had lots packed with money, but I did left that part out. But I think too bad for them, good for me.
Mr. Wahabi, I believe I can assist you with your issues regarding the golf tournament. I think all of your papers will be in order if you have them endorsed by Al Qaeda and ISIS, and don't forget the Muslim Brotherhood. If that happens, the Obama State Department will get everything through for you really, really fast, because a hole in one is the perfect golf tournament for our president, and it matches him very well.
Yes, yes, maybe we will also alternate advertisement is big a hole, big a hole. Maybe your listeners can help with other suggestions for name for Spongistan tournament. So, last thing I have is there is a jihad in war in Mid East, as you know. So, America is giving $1 billion to Middle East to fight jihad, but we saw all of the papers that said to America must give some money to disabled people, small people, small business, things like that. So we put in a proposal.
You mean the
that,
jizya?
We did something. So we had said to them we will have a disabled wounded jihad company get some money for, you know, people who were hurt in jihad. We'll submit proposal under rules to get money.
Well, Hugo,
so what we are going to do. Yes.
Well, Hugo, okay,
take it away.
All right, Mr. Wahabi, I've got the perfect person for you to contact about that, because that some of that can be siphoned through our Internal Revenue Service. They've been extremely patriotic over the past few years. You want to contact a lady named Lois Lerner, but don't contact her by email because those seem to get lost quite a bit. So you may want to try
defiled.
You may want to try a phone call.
Yes, Lerner. Name sounds familiar. I think she has been at all ticket events. Yes, yes. I think she never misses a good meal. I think so. But I must go. Thank you. This is Wahabi here from Spongistan. Spongistan, we sponge from you, and you stand for it. And we love you, and good night.
Thank you, Mr. Wahabi.
Mr. Wahabi, it is always a pleasure to hear your voice, and we really do appreciate it. If you stay on the line, if you would like, we've got something here for you. And Wahabi, I don't know if you belong to any Islamic cultural centers, but we have a friend named Ned that likes to call the Islamic Cultural Center, and we're going to play him right now.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the Islamic Cultural Center. If you know the extension number of the person you wish to speak to, please dial it now.
Thank you for coming to us, may I help you?
Yes, hello.
Hello, sir.
Yes, what's your name?
My name is Jamil.
Hey, what's up, Jamil? You think you could talk to me a moment about what's going on with you crazy fucking Muslims and this cartoon about Muhammad?
Yes, sir.
I've seen a lot of people burning flags and going crazy over there.
Burning. Very dangerous, Islam.
But what's the big deal, man? It's just a cartoon. I mean, if a newspaper published a cartoon of my wife, you know, giving Beetle Bailey a blowjob, who gives a shit? It's a fucking cartoon, asshole.
No, it's safe. It's safe. Believe me. Islam.
Ah, bingo. Now we're getting somewhere. Islam.
No.
You could publish a picture of Jesus Christ with a swastika on his head or a Buddha running around with a vibrating butt plug, but we ain't going to riot in the streets. It's you crazy fucking Muslims. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, hello.
Yeah, marhab.
You just call me a motherfucker, Haji?
Okay, just a minute.
Good evening, the conference of Baron and Matthew.
Yeah. Hello.
Good evening. Can I hold the line for a moment, sir?
I can't hardly hear you. Could you reach down and pull up your wife's burqa and get the phone out of her ass? Hello.
That's the next one,
sir. Hello.
Yes.
Sir, I'm just randomly calling, trying to get a hold of any Middle Easterner who's not crazy.
Sorry?
Yeah, I was calling, trying to figure out this Muslim cartoon controversy. You know anything about that?
No, I don't know.
Well, let me clue you in, Habib. The whole Muslim world is gone fucking crazy because there was a picture of Muhammad published in a paper, and he was like, had a suicide bomb in his turban.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm sorry.
Well, in my opinion, that cartoon didn't go far enough. I think it should have shown Muhammad beheading a defenseless female reporter with one hand while he detonates a bomb and blows himself up inside a school bus full of kindergartners with the other while he's stomping on the Easter bunny.
No.
It's obvious all you assholes are crazy and Muhammad is the head lunatic motherfucker in charge.
Who are you?
My name is Ned.
Ned?
Yes.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from the United States of America.
Which part?
What, you going to hunt me down?
Yes.
You are?
Yes.
Well, imagine that. A Muslim responding to a harmless prank phone call with crazed death threats. Surprise, surprise.
What are you talking about, man?
I'm trying to figure you crazy Muslims out. I mean, you know, you're always blowing yourselves up and flying planes into buildings, you know, so you can get to those 72 virgins. And, I mean, I don't understand what the big fucking deal is. I mean, Don't you think after a while 72 virgins get kind of old? I mean, why don't you guys spice it up?
No.
I'm thinking, 32 virgins, 3 midgets, 10 crack whores, 10 gorillas, a donkey, 5 black guys, a Puerto Rican hermaphrodite.
Ned?
Throw in a couple dozen hamsters for good measure and a guy in a chicken suit. Now that'd be a party.
That's the next one.
Well, I got a good idea for another cartoon you crazy Muslims might like. Okay, it's called The Teenage Mutant Muslim Turtles. They live under. They live in a sewer. They eat pizza, and they kill Jews. It's a laugh riot.
That's the next one.
Well, if it isn't my favorite Muslim asshole.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Now I got another idea for you.
All right.
I was thinking of a great idea for a reality show. Called Muslim Apprentice. Instead of Donald Trump saying you're fired.
Donald Trump?
Yeah. Instead of Donald Trump saying you're fired, we have Osama bin Laden say you're martyred. And then you blow yourself up on national TV. Hello?
That's the next one.
Yeah, I was planning on taking a vacation to Mecca, and I was wondering, does it cost extra to be trampled to death?
No.
For free. You throw that in for free?
Yes.
That's my kind of guy. If you put Osama on the phone, I want to talk to him. Let me talk to bin Laden.
No.
Hello.
That's the next one.
Yes, Ahmed.
Yes, I'm listening.
I was calling to confirm your order of 1 million giant foam hands that say death to Israel.
Death to Israel.
Jesus. You are the prototypical crazy Muslim.
No.
Oh, yes, you are. Give me one. Crazy motherfucker.
That's the next one,
Hey, what's up, Akbar? I got a hot new musical group, and we're trying to get up some tour dates for Fallujah Palooza. So check this shit. Crazy fucking Muslims!
Net.
Stay away from me!
Net.
Crazy fucking Muslims! Try to murder me! Hello? Damn it.
And you can find Ned on YouTube. He does all sorts of crazy things, and we're going to have Ned as a feature on the Friday F-Bomb program because this guy is hilarious, and he's really quite good there, Agador. He calls the redneck shop, he calls the American fisheries, he calls Delta Airlines, like, and this guy, it's cold calls. He is actually calling these companies and organizations. He called gay Hallmark cards. I'll have to bring that up later on down the road. But it is Friday, and we are engaging in Kelly is engaging in some tomfoolery, and Agador is being the beleaguered a patient one. But Agador, did you like that one or what? And I better bring Agador back on. I muted him.
There you go. You muted me, and I muted myself because I was laughing so hard. No, that was great. Two gorillas and a guy in a chicken suit. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. That is good stuff.
Was it the Ayatollah Khomeini who said that there is no humor in Islam? Well, you know what? We put the humor in Islam. You know,
that's right.
We are going to take the piss out of these guys.
That's right. We put the slam on Islam, baby.
The slam on Islam. Oh, my God. I got to write that down. The slam on his... Oh, my gosh. That is gold. Oh.
We always get good talent on these shows. And, Ned is great. And, of course, another big thank you to Wahabi. I know it's been a little rough with the visas and everything, I mean... he really should appeal personally, I would suggest to David Cameron for another visa and say that he's been racially microaggressed, and I think he'll just get right on in.
Microaggressed?
Oh, yes.
Now, that is funny.
You'll just get right on
in. Where's your stage? Where's your mic?
Well, I've got the mic, and I've got the cheek, but, and this is the stage, so. Yeah. So, what else have we got, Kelly?
You know what, Agador? There is so much going on out there, and I think it's time, it's great to have a show like this in which you can have humor and infuse it, but there are also very serious issues, and we're having grave issues in the West, ladies and gentlemen, with Islam, and I noticed, Agador, and I'm so glad that you were able to join me tonight, as I asked you to do pretty much at the last moment. But I want to play something, and I want your take on this, because this I find fascinating. There is this video going out, and it is gone viral. Yeah. What I'm going to have to do, though, is that I could not download it into an MP3 format. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to play this, and I want your take on this, Agador. Hang on. And this is courtesy of Kath in the chat room.
We got to talk a little bit about how you are conducting yourselves as Iraq police. Raise your hand if you're in the Mahdi militia. Let's see it. Who's in the militia?
And my apologies. This is from Iraq, not Afghanistan, as I aforementioned. But, Agador, this is interesting. We really have to pay attention to this.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The Middle East...
You asked militia time.
Yes.
Which one of you are more loyal to the militia than to your own country? None of you. Bullshit. Some of you in this formation are fucking lying right now. You know why I'm pissed off? I come down here with my soldiers to try to train you, and you're trying to fucking kill Americans, you're trying to kill your fellow fucking Iraqis, because you got no fucking backbone. You want everything from me. You want weapons and ammunition. You want fuel, you want trucks, but you're too fucking pussy to go 3 kilometers down the fucking road and go get the people that are tearing this fucking town apart. It's pure fucking cowardice. I'll take 3 goddamn trucks down the road any fucking day. You think this is funny? You want to call me out? You think it's fucking funny? Why don't I take your ass out back and kick your little fucking ass? You better shut the fuck up. Fucking pay attention. I got no problem beating any one of your asses. Not one. Because I don't give a fuck. Because you're acting like a bunch of fucking women. Shut up, I'm talking. Shut your fucking mouth. I'm not going to come down here and waste my fucking time or my soldiers' lives because you don't want to do shit. You guys better figure out where your loyalties lie. Are you loyal to Iraq? Shia? Sunni? What is it? You want to fight for your country?
Or are you better off having me die for your country because you're too much of a fucking woman to do it yourself? You love seeing Americans die for your fucking country. You won't die for it yourself. I don't see your ass in my hometown. And you fucking leadership better get your head out of your ass too. Lead from the fucking front. When's the last time you led a patrol? Probably never. When's the last time you went these guys down the ledge? When did you take them in ledge and fucking lead them on a fucking patrol? You never did, did you? Because you're too chicken shit. Figure out what the fuck you want out of us, or I'm going to stop coming down here. And when the Sunnis from Lent come up here and cut your fucking heads off, I'm not going to do a goddamn thing about it. I'm going to let them bomb your fucking ass into oblivion with their mortars because you will not do shit about it. I will not help people that will not help themselves. So get your heads out of this fucking bullshit Mahdi militia and start fighting for Iraq. What do you want? Question.
Amazing, and I want to thank Kath for that. I also want to thank Johnny Shelton for that because he also sent me that. The only umbrage I take with this is that they fight like women. Are you kidding me? You want to piss off a red fox and turn her into a mad fox? You are going to you're going down, baby. You are going down. But that is brilliant. I love this soldier and how he was dressing down the newly formed Iraqi army, and we know, though, that they're getting slaughtered. We lost 1,500 of them last week due to ISIS, the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria. But, hey, Agador, what do you think about that?
Well, I think that's exactly how we should conduct war, and that's exactly what we should be saying to people when you go into these countries. See, there's a movement afoot now for the West to just withdraw all of its troops from everywhere and just get into a fetal position in our own countries and let other people dominate in the world. And here's the reality. Someone is going to dominate until human nature changes. Someone is going to dominate in the world. Now, it can either be socialist communists, or it can be Islamists, or it can be both of those, or it can be countries that embrace better values like the United States of America and Canada, the UK, and et cetera. Okay? That's the choice we have. But But yeah. when we go into these countries, one of the things that has to happen is the people that we go in there to help have to be prepared to help themselves. They can't just let American troops, Canadian troops, British troops, they can't just let them do all the heavy lifting. They've got to say, okay, we've got some help. We're getting some supplies. We're getting some weapons. We know this country. We can help them root out the bad guys. Let's go get them. Instead of that, they lay back in a lot of cases and let our guys get killed. And there's the other issue, which I love that this soldier tapped about where their loyalties lie. And this was what I was saying before the other part of the video came up. We have to be extremely careful. And if there's even a suspicion that someone's loyalties might be somewhere else, boot them the hell out of these organizations, these police departments, and even these military organizations and whatever. Okay, and have absolutely no tolerance if they do something disloyal, like try to hurt one of our people. At that point, they're just dead. We need to decide, people, whether we're going to play footsie with Islamists in this cutthroat world, or whether we're going to go to war. And if we're going to go to war, let's go to war. Let's forget these stupid rules of engagement, all right? And let's give our people the tools and the methods and the ability to fight the wars and win them, or at the very least, make sure that these Islamists know that they need to keep their crap in their countries. And if they try anything with us or our allies like Israel, they're going to get, a big boondocker boot, a foot up their ass. That's what I have to say about that.
Well, the thing is that Moving Forward brought up a really good point in the chat room, and that the military folks are—they're not mercenaries, but that's how they are being used. And this is the world stage of view. And when we go in as peacekeepers, for example, and we have to do dirty deeds, we're seen as mercenaries, and that is unfair to the noble men and women that fight in the military, trying to maintain global peace. And I am sick and tired of our respective governments sending in our troops, our military troops. We strive to maintain peace, but Agador, it cannot be done in the Middle East. The Middle East is so far gone that is the world view, and especially in the Islamic worldview, is that we try to provide food, water, clothing, shelter, but we are seen as interlopers.
Well, yeah, and look, I understand that view, and mine is that we go in, we do the job that we originally set ourselves out to do, okay, and then we get out. But they're going to have to care for themselves. As far as the mercenaries thing goes, Movin has yeah. a good point, and I've said this. I think we've spent over 13 years in Iraq now. I think that for the next 13 years, we should get $10 a barrel oil from Iraq as partial payment for the pain and suffering that our people have gone through. If the rest of the world, okay, there's part of a problem. The rest of the world sees the West in a kind of a jealous way. They want to be the West. They want the West's prosperity and all of that. So that's part of the reason they don't like us. The other part of it is, I see it as the fact that we need to make sure that when we do send our troops overseas, that they're there to do a job and then get out. And not to just have their hands tied by stupid rules of engagement that only we follow. Our enemies don't follow any rules of engagement. Here's the thing. Okay, I would like anyone, to name me one war that our respective countries have been in, you know, since the, since about 200 years ago, where our troops have been captured and they have been treated with the with any kind of Geneva Convention rules or anything like that. Any conflict that we've been involved in where our guys have been captured and they haven't been tortured, one will do. You can't, because there aren't any. It's no wonder our military is tired, because they're being sent into crap conflicts with nebulous goals and stupid rules that they have to follow that get them killed.
And we're sending our soldiers into a slaughterhouse at this point, because the rules of engagement are not there. They do not follow the UN conventions of war, and I think the UN is useless, and I think that that big building in New York City should be shoved into the East River. When the UN was established after World War II, it had noble intentions, but it has been infiltrated by the IOC, you know, the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, and what it is now called. I think that our military being sent into the cesspools is a moot cause, because we're just losing our soldiers. We are not peacekeepers. We are warriors. We're warriors. And we have to ensure that they come home. Or it's got to be an issue of them going in there, annihilating the enemy, and coming home. And more often, they're coming home in body bags because of the Geneva Convention acts, for example. And it is just absolutely atrocious to me. And now Barack Hussein Obama, who I will never address as president because he does not deserve that honorific, he is sending more troops into Iran or Iraq. And why is he doing this? What? Why does Barack Hussein Obama hate the West so much? And how on earth did he get elected as president?
Well, I can tell you part of that. Part of that is his upbringing. I mean, his mother was a radical. His father was a radical. You know, he was brought up with a lot of he was brought up believing that the values of the United States of America are antithetical to the values of the rest of the world. He believes that, unlike you, who believes that the United States of America is the greatest nation in the world, he believes that, that we need to be brought down a peg or three so that we're all part of a global socialist hegemony. That's a phrase I came up with.
It
plugs into the UN. Now, I used to think, when I was a kid, I thought a one-world government would be great. But the only problem with that is when you put all your eggs in one basket like that, you do get infiltration by people like these Islamist groups and enviro crazies and socialists and other people who want the whole world to follow their model. Well, you know what? That stinks. That's a great reason why nations should have their autonomy to be their own nations and not have to follow one uber government, because that way people can move to the places they want. If some Islamist wants to cut people's heads off, engage in genital mutilation, and be a slaver, that's fine. Let them do that in the Middle East, and hopefully their ideology of, with their ideology of hate, they'll kill each other off. But don't bring it to our countries. All right? The rest of us want to be free to work and live and raise our kids and our grandkids in a place that's peaceful and safe. That's the way to do it. The UN is definitely one of my pet peeves.
I think that what they're doing is that they are in earnest of the caliphate, and we're seeing that in the in the West. We are seeing the demise, for example, of Spain. It is happening in the UK. And as everybody knows, I produce for Jeff Mitchell of EDL Radio. And, of course, Tim Burton out of the UK is my fellow host. And you listen to these people and you listen to what they say. It is frightening. I think this is why North America is very, very hungry for news out of the UK and Sweden, Spain in particular. It's very, very dire, ladies and gentlemen, very dire. And we have to pay heed to what these people in Europe are telling us. And that is, Islam is here. Islam is not going away. It has no intention of going away. And, you know, do you want to see this sort of development produce further in the UK? Like, this is absolutely terrifying. And now what we're seeing in Iraq with the ISIS, the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria. They're going to demarcate those borders, and it's going to be one group. Now, Jordan, they're gunning for, and Turkey. Those might be harder battles, but the thing is that if they can demarcate borders, they can do it in Europe. And if they do it in Europe, and Europe falls into another siege of Vienna, we're done. World War One got rid of the Ottoman Empire. They got rid of that. But you know what? It can come back quite handily. And this will be totally due to our undoing because we did not pay attention. And we are not holding our politicians' feet to the fire to do this.
You're absolutely right. You are. And you know, I just want to say to to our American friends, any Americans who might be listening to this in archive or something like that, this stuff is very real. You mentioned Jeff Mitchell. As an individual, Jeff represents some of the best in the United Kingdom who are fighting this scourge. Personally, I would march with him on one side and sunny England on the other into hell itself and give Satan a smash in the teeth. Because not only are they fighting the Islamist takeover of the United Kingdom, Americans, this is real. Their entire culture is being taken over by a culture that doesn't give a damn about any Western values whatsoever. All right, they're going in and confronting these people because the caliphate, as Kel says, is rising again. And it's rising all over the world. It's in the United Kingdom. Sweden is gone. It's in Spain. It's in France. And it's in Canada and in the United States. Both of our countries are beginning to see increasingly stories of Islamists being doing what Islamists do, acting like Islamists and being abusive, honor killings, all this sort of thing, and this is only going to increase, and I have to say to my fellow Americans, guys, wake the heck up. We have to boot Islam itself out of the United States of America. If there are any Islamists in power, we have to remove them from power. All you have to do is look over at the UK, and see where people like Jeff Mitchell and Sonny England are both fighting this to stay alive, all right? And you'll see that it's very, very real. You know, this ain't, you know, this ain't no party. This ain't no disco. This ain't no fooling around. This ain't no couple of people with egos sitting here rocking a mic just to listen to our heads rattle. All right. This is real, actual stuff where our daughters and our granddaughters are being taken and raped by Islamist rape gangs. You think that's not going to happen here in the United States? Give it 5 to 10 years. You'll start hearing about it. And that'll just be the tip of the iceberg. It's time to do something.
I absolutely refuse to see my granddaughters in burqas, and nor do you, Agador. We have to remember what Islam is capable of, and that is absolute devastation. They, wherever Islam roams, you see the fall of the states. We have witnessed what happened on 9/11 and 7/7 and what happened in Spain. And Spain is falling very fast. We are seeing Greece trying to curtail the Islamic influence. We saw what happened in Libya when Muammar Gaddafi was taken out. He was a vanguard. He was a dictator. Yes, he was. We admit that. But he was also the one who was a gatekeeper in keeping the Islamists swimming across the borders into Europe. But now he's gone, and the Islamists are swimming up rather handily at this point. We have seen what happened in Iraq. Saddam Hussein, who was hanged, and his last words were, "Do you think you can control Iraq? If you think you can, good luck." And he was doing a job. He was cooperating with the United States. We don't care about the yellow cakes because it didn't affect us, but now it is. But we also have an obligation to remember the devastation that Islam brings on. And July of 7/7 is coming up. And this is a commemoration of the suicide bombers and the terrorists that attacked the UK. And I want to share this with you. This is from our very own Agador.
Time for an unpleasant blind guy, conservative bite. Each year on September the 11th, British patriots gather at the United States Embassy in London to stand in solidarity with the American people in remembrance for the lives lost in the terrorist attacks on the United States of America on that day. The attacks Americans have come to call 9/11. In 2005, bombs were exploded in London, killing 52 people and injuring 700. British people call these bombings 7/7. I'm suggesting that in solidarity with the people of the United Kingdom, in remembrance of the lives lost in the 7/7 bombings, people wait until the evening of July the 7th and then light 7 lights. This can be 7 firework rockets, 7 candles, or 7 lights of any other kind, possibly arranged in a display. I'm also suggesting that those who participate record what they do and post it to the internet as a further public display of their solidarity with the British people and with all those who have lost loved ones through the actions of those who follow the ideology of hate that is Islam. So join me on July the 7th this year and in years to come, and mark 7 on 7/7. This has been an unpleasant blind guy, conservative bite.
And that was brilliant, Ecuador. I really want to thank you for putting that together, because Islam affects lives. It affects psyches. It affects our very line of thinking. But unfortunately, there are so many people out there that don't get it yet. But we have somebody here that I want to bring on, and this is Annie of Southern Sense, and I want her to offer her opinion about that. And Annie, hi, sweetheart. How are you?
How's that sound? Where do you start? You know, I went after I did my show today, which unfortunately you didn't make, which I understand, nor did Aggie. After I did the show, I had to run out to the store, and I was listening to Patriot Radio on XM Radio, and this person, I forget who it was filling in for Sean Hannity. Thank you. And Tamara Holder was the guest. Do you know, every time I see that woman's face, I want to bitch slap her. I want to slap her across the face so hard.
You and me both.
Oh, man. And she calls herself a Republican, and you listen to what comes out of her mouth, and you go, what planet are you living on? She's talking about, at one point, how we as conservatives have Islamophobia. Islamophobia when you worry and get upset about some Muslim that decapitated two men in New Jersey simply for being Coptic Christians? Is it Islamophobia when a father runs his daughter over in a parking lot in Florida? This is not Baghdad. This is not Pakistan. This is not where Jesus stand or whatever stand it is. This is the United States of America, and it's happening on our shores. And we're ignoring it. And mainstream media, or I should say lamestream media, is failing to report it. And what are we going to wake up?
That's absolutely it. And I produce for various radio programs, and my radio host on Radio Jihad Network, Tim Burton, out of the U.K., he is, and Jeff Mitchell, of course, I produce for him on EDL Radio. And that is the thing, is that when there are crime reports, they cover it up. They're protecting the Mohammedans. I am getting really sick of this, and I'm finding this in Canada. I'm finding this in the United States as well, Annie, is that they cover up the religious component of this. We had a person here in Canada about 2 weeks ago that was charged with attempted murder. And you know how they reported it? It was a domestic dispute. They did not report that he was actually an Islamist, Mohammedan, that was trying to honor kill his wife many, 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 many years, and his daughter. Like, why the protectionism, Annie? I don't understand that.
No, and the worst part is that we've got this massive invasion of our border, and a large portion of the people that are flowing over the border are not Hispanic. They're not.
Yeah, I know.
Those that are being called other than Mexican, OTMs. And, you know, this is what really drives me absolutely crazy. Prior to 9/11, I was sitting in a doctor's office, and I believe it may have been a year or two prior to 9/11. And I was reading a major national magazine, and for the life of me, I cannot remember what magazine it was, and I have not been able to pull the article up because it's been scrubbed. I'm telling you, it's been scrubbed from the Internet.
Yep.
And it was either Newsweek or Time. And when I say major periodical, it was Newsweek or Time. And this was under George W. Bush's reign, that they printed this article about the invasion of illegals coming over the border and how many were what they called OTMs. And then they named the nations they were coming from. Yemen, Iran.
Yemen, yeah.
Iraq, Pakistan. And at that point, that was telling me we were getting an invasion of Islamic terrorists. Now, if I could realize that back in, I believe it may have been 98 or 99, and that's when the article was printed, why aren't we still recognizing this 15, 16 frigging years later? When the Twin Towers were hit the first time in 1993, why did we call it a crime? Why didn't we recognize it and treat it for what it was, a terrorist attack? Thank you, Giuliani.
It was an
Thank
Islamic
you,
Bill Clinton. Terrorist
well, yeah, yeah.
attack.
Part of that was Bill Clinton, you know, if you don't mind. Yeah. And part of that was Bill Clinton. All Bill Clinton wanted to do was sit in the office, have a good time. Let's keep it family, and go out and play golf and enjoy being president of the United States while the economy was doing good. Thanks, none at all to him. He didn't want to hear about anything difficult that he might have to do. That's what came from that 1993 incident. Yes, it should have been recognized. You know, people say he could have taken out Bin Laden, and he didn't. And this again is because he didn't see the danger, or he just didn't give a fat rat's ass. And I'd just like to say one thing to all of us who have shows. It may be well at this point, when we come across articles like this, for us to grab them off the net as quickly as we can and save them to our own computers so that we can share them with people. Because I think you're going to see an increasing amount of this scrubbing of these articles from the internet, our nations. You're slightly luckier about that, excuse me, Kelly, than I am, or than Annie and I are. Okay, mm-hmm. But our nations are involving themselves in pro-Islamist propaganda, and they're pulling these articles off so that we can't inform each other of what's going on.
No, that's true.
Well,
I think that
is exactly it, and this is what Annie is bringing up, and I want Annie to expand on that one.
No, it is true, because articles are disappearing, and something I started to do is that Agador suggested that if I see something, I grab it off the internet, and if I can, I'll download it as a document and save it on my computer so I can pull it back up and then, send it to someone else. But the trick is knowing that the document is there or the article is there and having the time and the wherewithal to think about taking it and holding it. And as I said, this article was back in either 98 or 99 or something like that. And I for the life of me, I can't remember, but I do remember vividly reading the article and thinking, oh, my God, we're in trouble. And the reason why it struck me so hard is because I was a cop in New York City on duty the day, that February day, February 28th, 1993, as this happened. My sister-in-law was working in the Twin Towers, and I remember for almost 24 hours we couldn't contact her and find out if she was okay or one of those that died that day. And that is why it hit me. At that point, I wasn't as active in politics or anything like that. I would write a letter to my editor, write a letter to my senator or something like that, occasionally make a donation to a political candidate or something like that. But I wasn't into everything that was going on. I was one of those that was comfortable to sit home and believe that this is the United States of America and nothing bad will ever happen here.
Bingo. No, bingo on that, Annie. No, this is part of the problem we have both in the States and in Canada, in the U.K., all over the West, because we have so many ostriches out there with their heads in the sand who just can't believe the horrible stuff that we see every day. They just can't believe that it's going to get that bad. I hear this when I talk to people all the time. Well, it just can't be that bad. It'll get better. We've had troubles before. It'll get better. It's not getting better.
And Americans will never allow that to happen. I hear that also. Americans would never, but guess what? We have the income tax. We allowed it to happen. We've had terrorist attacks. We allowed it to happen.
Yep.
We have allowed the IRS to usurp the Constitution and take away all of our human rights, our property rights, and our freedoms, and we have allowed it to happen. We have allowed the NSA to go into the most intimate details of our life without a warrant, and we have allowed it to happen because we say this is the United States of America and it'll never happen here. Well, wake up, folks. It is happening here now.
And it's only going to get worse unless we actually decide to make some hard choices and do something.
Kev, I think you took off your show.
I'm sorry, Kev.
You have to make hard choices. My God. I mean, everybody knows that I'm a Canadian, and I
we'll forgive you that.
You know, report a lot on American news and stuff, and everybody knows my saying. I live in the best country on the planet, but I'm next-door neighbors to the greatest nation on the planet. And as the United States goes, so do the rest of us. And you guys have a usurper in your people's house, i.e. the White House. You don't even impeach him. He should be arrested. He should be led out of the people's house in handcuffs. I'm sick of this person. I don't even understand how he got elected into a second term.
Oh, I know why. Go ahead, Annie. Sorry.
Well, it's the American Idol president. I've called him that from
the very,
very first moment he started to run. American Idol. Hello. Now, Paul makes an interesting comment in the chat room. He's talking about that 9/11 cut him to the quick, and he cried a lot that day. I got to tell you, as a police officer that worked in New York City, as a kid that played in, trust me, I played in the elevators as they were building the Twin Towers, and I don't think a lot of people are happy because I hit all the buttons for every floor. At that point, they only went up to the 65th floor. But someone that is a native New Yorker, that this was my playground, this was my home, this was my turf. To see this happen, my husband and I, now living in South Carolina, were watching TV. And he happened to be watching Don Imus, of all shows, and that's when the towers were hit. And I looked at it, and I just sat there, and I said, this is what's going to happen. They're going to respond, and they're going to set up the triage in the plaza. And all the emergency vehicles will be parked on the plaza. And I said, I'm looking at the way they hit the towers. The first time they hit it from underneath, in the garage. And it was deliberately built to prevent that from happening. What we learned from that was, and what we taught the terrorist was, don't hit in the garage from under the structure. Hit above and force it down. And I said, when I saw the first plane hit, I said, that fire is going to collapse the upper stories and it's going to bring everything downward. They've got to get those emergency people off the plaza, otherwise they'll be buried and crushed alive. And then the second plane hit. And I said, they're so busy doing the triage, they're not going to have time to move those people. They've got to get them out. And I kept praying and praying and praying. And then when you read the stories about that fire truck that was buried for days until finally they were able to get out the last few fires that were left buried alive.
Yes. They made a movie about that, in fact. And
I knew exactly, and that is what people can say 9/11, and I cried that day. But there were people I worked with that died that day. There were people I worked with and know personally that responded. And I don't think anyone else listening can respond.
I lost two internet friends. I mean, I didn't know them personally. I mean, they never sat around my kitchen table and had coffee with me, but I knew them via internet, and they both died because they were first responders.
And I lost someone too. I mean, basically, she just went nuts when the whole thing happened. She literally just lost her mind.
Yeah.
Well, as I said, I worked with these people. I knew them. Matter of fact, just before I had retired, Sergeant Green, who was with ESU Truck 8, I had written up a medal for him just prior, and that was one of the things I did prior to retiring, was writing up, you know, officers for whatever heroic deeds they did. And this was a great man, a very, very humble man. And when I did the write-up for him and I asked him to review it, he said something to me. He goes, "You make me sound better than I actually am." And I said, "No, sir." I said, "You earned it, and I'll make sure that you get that medal." And we did. We honored him with that medal. I think it was a meritorious medal. And when I say I knew these people, I mean knew them and worked with them.
Annie, you have to explain your program. And ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Annie. She is Southern Sense, is Conservative Sense. You can hear her on Tuesdays and Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. But Annie, what you do is phenomenal. You are a true American patriot. Explain to people exactly how you operate your show. Tell them about your tributes that you do at the beginning of your show.
Kel, I am just no more than just a bitch with a mic. I don't know. I appreciate the accolades that you give me, but, you know, I'm just someone with an opinion and a big mouth, and that's all. We started the show basically as a joke, my husband and I. He wanted to do a blues station, and then when we're doing all the stuff and researching it, it's like all the stuff that had to do with royalties and royalty-free music, and I said, this is just too much of a problem. And then people started calling in, and they actually wanted to start to express their political opinions. And that's how we ended up becoming, you know, the conservative talk show that we are today. And matter of fact, when I looked at my numbers, and I only broadcast only 2 days a week, Tuesdays and Fridays at 2:00 Eastern Standard Time. And for the small little time period we broadcast, I looked at the numbers. I'm almost at 600,000 listens. And I said, wow, wow. I mean, last year, the numbers have just jumped off the chart. A year and a half ago, I was just like maybe 20 or 30,000 listens. But to jump that high, I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing right or how I'm doing it right. But God gave me, I guess, a gift. And, oh, well, I have to lay it on you guys. I have to lay it on you guys.
Oh, my goodness,
the crap out of you.
And this is what it's all about, is that we exchange our ideologies, our patriotism, and our love and respect for our respective troops, whether they be in Canada, the United States, the UK, Australia. And when our respective governments send them overseas to fight the scourge, and we see them coming home in body bags, it enrages us. And I think this is the sentiment that the American, the Canadian, the UK, the Australian, whether it be New Zealand or whatever, we are very much sick and tired. We do not want to be peacekeepers. We do not want to hand out candies to the Shaheeds. And if you don't know what a Shaheed is, a Shaheed is a boy popped out of a Muslima to grow up to engage in terrorism and kill us. The Shahis, 9/11, 7/7, Spain. We are sick and tired. We've had enough. We are at the final frontier, and we are taking that jump. And Annie, that's why you're successful.
Well, I thank you for the compliments, and we can never, ever, ever say enough to the men and women that serve, whether or not they're in the uniform military services, the Army and the Marine Corps, the Coast Guard, the Navy, the National Guard, or if they're one of our first responders, being a firefighter, a law enforcement officer, emergency service, EMT. These men and women actually place their lives on the line every day of the week. And unless you've been one of them, you don't even know the price they pay. I can't tell you how many times I've walked out the door and went to work, and I never thought about what my spouse was thinking at home, whether or not I'd make it home in one piece that night.
I know.
But as the years have gone on, and then I begin to understand the sacrifice.
I'm just going to interject for a quick second and remind people that Annie is a retired police officer, and she obtained her badge to protect you in the United States. And Annie, my hat always goes off to you for that. Like, I know I sound besotted, but I'm very, very moved by the life that you're leading, and that you are a protector of the people, and you have a wonderful radio program. And I'll shut up now and let you carry forth.
Well, you know, I just want, you know, if someone sees, you know, a local cop and, you know, God forbid, they get pulled over for running a traffic light or a stop sign or something like that, don't give the cop a hard time. You know, I found 9 times out of 10, if you turn around and you just say, you know, I'm sorry, I didn't realize, you know, I did something bad. I apologize, and I'm sorry. You know, I know that you've got a lot to do protecting us, and I apologize for having to take up your time. You may actually get out of that ticket. You may actually get out of that ticket. You know, we're not there. You know, there are a few, you know, I will admit there are a few we call hair bags that are just, you know, no matter what, they're just looking to make their numbers.
Yeah.
But the majority of them are just good-hearted people. They're your brothers, your sisters, your husbands, your sons and daughters. We're just like you. And, you know, you talk to us like we're a reasonable person. You walk up to a cop and say, hi, thank you. Thank you for doing the job you're doing. I appreciate it. And walk away. The same thing with a uniformed person. If you see someone that's in the military, walk up to them and say, thank you. Thank you for protecting our freedoms.
Oh, Annie, I have a comment I want to make about that. And I'm going to pass the mic back to you in a second. And that is, I was listening to an American talk radio program. And the radio host said that I don't understand why people walk up and thank a police officer or a firefighter or a paramedic or a soldier. I don't understand that. Why do I have to thank them? And that pissed me off. Like you wouldn't believe. I it was like, fuck you. Like, they're the ones out
there.
It's a calling, and they're putting their lives on the line, and they're protecting you, and you can't even have the fortitude to say thank you?
Well, I actually have another two-word answer for that, if you don't mind, Kel.
Go right ahead, Agador.
All right, my two words are get out. Look, if people can't understand what these individuals go through, all of them, you know, law enforcement, EMTs, firefighters, and our military, if they don't have enough in them, if they're so sociopathic that they don't get that these people sacrifice, and I mean really sacrifice, people in the military don't even have civil rights when they're serving. Most people don't know that. They don't have free speech rights or anything like that. Okay, but they're still out there putting their bodies and often even their families on the line for us all the time. If people don't understand that and they don't want to understand that and they don't want to hear that, then my response is get out. Go somewhere else where they'll appreciate your apathy. Back to you guys.
Well, actually, you know, Agador, you're really right in a lot of ways for law enforcement, because now you're also, here you are serving and protecting the public, and you many times are restricted in what you can and cannot say, very much like the military. You got to remember, law enforcement is a paramilitary organization, and people turn around and say that there's a lot of police brutality. No, there really is not. You're looking at maybe 1% of any police force, and very rarely do you find it where it's rampant through an entire police force, and usually that's in a little one-horse town, small little hick villages where, you know, they end up where somebody gets in control and power and it goes to their head. And that's few and far between, thankfully. Thankfully. And a lot of people would say, you know, for New York City, where I worked, that it was an extremely corrupt police. And it came down to less than 1%. And when you're talking about 30,000 police officers, 30,000 uniformed police officers on patrol, and you only have less than 1% proved to be corrupt or brutal, that's a very good statistic. Can you say that about any other industry where there's rampant corruption and abuses? No. No. Most businesses take off the top already saying, I'm going to lose 10 to 25% depending upon what the business is. And they're already automatically assuming there's going to be that much corruption, that much theft or whatever, already figuring into their business module. But when you say there's only 1%, that's a damn good statistic. And it's not so much that there's rampant police brutality, but mainstream media blows it out of control. When one shows that they are corrupt, abusive, or whatever, it becomes a YouTube 1 million hit video.
Well, let me
but
support you there for a second.
For all those other jobs that go unrewarded, there's not a single video.
Well, let me just support you there for a second, Annie. Now, you know, we're talking mainly here about the Islamic scourge, and that's what a lot of this revolves around tonight. And you'll see people. I've heard people from various patriots, for instance, from the United Kingdom, who go to these demonstrations, and the police are there to protect them and keep the crowd under control and whatnot. And they say to them, in and aside, we're with you. We believe that our country is being overrun too, but we can't say anything. Okay, and it goes to what the policeman said to Paul Weston after he was arrested. The policeman said, "We're in a war, but we have to obey orders. There's only so much we can do." So
exactly,
yeah, I do support you as far as that goes, definitely.
Exactly. And that's the whole thing. And where I worked in Brooklyn, there was a Muslim community, and there's also a large Jewish community, Hasidic community. And the two never met. And I do have a funny story to tell. There was a Muslim march that they had, and this was back in the 80s. And they were doing this anti-drug. They were working. Actually, they were doing something good, working to get drugs off the street and get the gangs and everything out of the neighborhood, because it was infringing on what we now know ended up becoming the 1993 bombing. But they had this huge march going on, and Reverend, I can see his face, not Jesse Jackson, what's the other damn fat fool's face that now is a CNN host after he lost all the weight?
You mean Sharpton?
Daddy?
Yeah, Big Mac Daddy, you know, Reverend Sharpton. And he decided to horn in on this. And they set up this huge set of bleachers and everything for him and his entourage to go to so that he can do his speech alongside his Muslim brother. And when they set the bleachers up, they didn't balance them exactly correctly. And my partner and I were standing behind the bleachers as we were guarding the crowd and everything. And he and his entourage stormed up the bleachers, and he went to get the best spot so everyone and the cameras can see him, right? Well, the bleachers ended up tipping over, and all you saw was this, and this is when he was at his maximum weight. His arms are waving in the air as if he's trying to fly as the bleachers are tipping over. He hits the ground and bounces.
Oh, I'm surprised the concrete didn't crack.
It's kind of like how the the island of Guam is going to tip over if we put too many troops there.
Well,
I'm surprised they didn't see that on some university's earthquake scale then.
Fortunately, no one was hurt.
The epicenter of this thing.
Fortunately, no one was hurt. Thank God no one was hurt. But, you know, here we're helping pick people up.
Nobody was hurt in the making of this statement.
And we're laughing so hard, there's tears coming down our face. You're trying to not laugh. No. So whenever I think the right Reverend Sharpton, it comes to my mind, his arms straight out next to him, as if he's trying to fly, just flapping and flapping and flapping, and then bouncing off the pavement. Boing. The right Reverend, boing, Sharpton.
The right Reverend, I say to you, there is an issue, and I am the true Reverend, not that Mac Daddy.
Are you trying to do a Hillary accent?
You know what? That is so funny. It's amazing.
No, she needs to
when
down about
I listen
half a
to
bottle
the sound
of booze
bites with Hillary Clinton, when she's speaking in the South, she's like, all of a sudden, she's got a Southern accent. And the same with the usurper in the White House, Barack Hussein Obama. All of a sudden, he gets a eubonic accent.
Oh, yeah, this president is such a bloody phony. I mean, when he's talking to a mostly black audience, the Ebonics come out, and he starts developing an accent and things like that. And it's different when he's talking to a bunch of rich white people in Hollywood that he wants to give, that he's going to a fundraiser to for $30,000 a plate.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Man.
But we are down to our last 10 minutes of talking points. And Annie, once again, tell people where they can find your show. And Agador, I'm going to ask you to do the same after Annie.
Well, they can always just simply go to southern-sense.com. But they'll find me here on Blog Talk Radio on Tuesdays and Fridays, 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I welcome anyone that listens in. We always take live callers. We welcome people calling in. It's always fun to listen to your voice. You know, I don't have all that much to say often. So.
Oh, yeah, right.
As I open my bottle of scotch for tonight.
Yeah, baby.
And there you go. Yeah, we've dropped the F-bomb so many times tonight. We're going to be loaded when we go to Reactionary Speaks place. I love you. I love you so much.
Oh, no. That reminds me when I called in one of the shows a couple of years ago, and I was so many into my scotch that, I think it was G Skis, and they have me recorded it. That thing, oh, G Ski, I love you, I love you, I love you. It's like, oh my God.
I love you, baby. You know what? Ladies and gentlemen, do not leave Annie and myself alone in the same bar.
Hey, big boy.
Oh, hey. Oh, what do you think, Annie?
Hey, big boy, let me see your buns.
No, Annie and I, we are incorrigible when we're set loose together. We terrorize the airwaves like you wouldn't believe. But you know what, Annie, I wouldn't have it any other way, baby.
When you decide to take your little Canadian butt down here to somewhere warm and visit us, you know, I'll tell you, I got all the watering holes already lined up.
I want to go to a honky-tonk, baby.
Oh, then I'm going to have to take you to Harold's Country Club.
There you go. Okay, Annie. Oh, thank you so much. You know what? I have been having issues with a dog we're trying to adopt. And he's having health issues, and he's been taking up a little bit of my time. But you know what? I promise I am so going to be there on Tuesday. Annie, thank you so very much.
God bless, Kel.
God bless you, Annie. Talk to you very soon. And Agador, you have a show that you would like to describe and direct people as to where they can find you.
Rightio. Yeah, I've left YouTube, although you can still find my stuff there if you subscribe to the Unpleasant Blind Guide. I still might post a thing up there once in a while, but I've moved to Pundit Press, and all you have to do is just go to Pundit Press Radio. You'll find me there. And, you know, my shows, I do a pre-recorded show, and often I finish a show, and then I think, what am I going to do next week? I do them about once a week. And usually my answer is, I got nothing. But somehow I find the inspiration to do, you know, to come up with something that is a little bit different. You might hear the same story covered that everybody else is, but it'll definitely be from a different angle if you do. And I definitely have something for this next week, which is, of course, the week of July the 4th. And I'll also be promoting 7 on 7/7, and I hope people who have any shows or anything like that will contact me, and I will send them that promo. Thank you for playing that promo, by the way, Kel. And yes, just look for me on Pundit Press Radio, where you can find a lot of people who are beginning to filter away from BTR. People like the Exceptional Conservative, the Underground Professor, the Sackheads Radio Boys, and who knows. Maybe even, possibly, in the future, you might see a flash of red on there. And, Kel, thank you very much for having me on tonight. I really appreciate it.
Oh,
we always seem to have
Agador.
Good fun together. And
always
I appreciate being on with Annie as well. Thank you
Absolutely.
Very much. And take it away, you foxy lady, you.
I am going to close out with a few programming notes. And that is that as you know, my fellow host on the Red Fox Blogger, in particular on the Monday programs, is Tim Burton. And he is on vacation, a well-deserved vacation. He finally got talked into taking one, and he is enjoying himself immensely. And I appreciate that. He listened to all of us and said, you've got to get the hell out of England for, you know, a good week or so, and he has. So I was thinking, oh, my goodness, I'm going to fly solo on Monday afternoon. As you know, I tape Monday and Fridays, the Red Fox Blogger. Mondays at 3 p.m. Eastern time. But Agador is going to fill in and sit with me on Monday afternoon at 3 p.m. Eastern time. And I am joining Annie on Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern time. So it's going to be a action-packed week, but as well, I also am a host on the Radio Jihad Network, heard Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Eastern time. And I don't know what I have lined up yet, but if I beg real hard, I might get Agador and Annie to join me there. I don't know. But I might have Bonnie, a Bare Naked Islam, joining me on Tuesday at the Radio Jihad Network. But you know what? Either way, I am a voice. I am not silent. I have a lot to say. My voice is loud. I'm a loud mouth, and I am sick and tired of the scourge, and we are going to put a stop to it, because you know what? Time is of the essence. It is mass Islamity. We have to stop the insanity, and we will ensure a future for our children and our grandchildren, because enough is absolutely enough. And Annie, thank you so much again, and Agador, I'll be speaking with you again on Monday.
Rightio.
Absolutely.
I look forward to it.
I look forward to it also.
Absolutely. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to bid you adieu, and thank you so very much for joining us. We had so many very kind people gracing the chat room, and we had very kind people gracing the studio. Of course, Agador, Annie of Southern Sense, Sweet Sue from New Mexico. And we want to thank Bigfoot Kath. We have some guests in here. Paul Alexander from across the pond. And people popped in and people popped out, including people like Vito and Holger. You guys who listen in archive, we appreciate the valued time that you take out of your day to spend with us. And Annie and Agador, have a great evening.
You too, sweetie.
Okay.
Good night. Good night and God bless.
God bless America.
And good night. You betcha. God bless the global planet and save us from the scourge. Ladies
slam that
is
slam.
You betcha. Oh, I love that. Slam on Islam, indeed. And God bless America. God bless Canada. God bless the UK, Australia, and Israel. We'll see you back here on Monday at the Red Fox Blogger. Good night, everybody. Thank you.